you find that moron yet?
The Game Plan with Dave Schultz continues on the Sound of Mobile, 105.5 FM, WNSP. Online at WNSP.com and on the WNSP app.
Fired up Friday afternoon game plan. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP. 4:30, Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. 5 o'clock, Mick Gillespie, Bama Insider. And at 5:30, Connor O'Gara. So we're going to talk a lot of SEC championship here for the last hour and a half of the show. But first, let's recap last night's Saints game with our buddy Luke Johnson from NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. I'll just dive right into it. Why did Sean Payton not replace Taysom Hill when Taysom Hill was injured?
Are you talking about the last 2 weeks?
No, I'm talking about when he hurt his finger.
Why did he not play Taysom Hill?
No, why did he not replace Taysom Hill and put in Trevor Siemian?
Oh, replace. I thought you said play Taysom Hill.
Oh, sorry.
My bad. Well, you know, I think Taysom said last night that the injury happened, but it felt okay. It just the big deal was getting used to the grip on the football. And I think for two quarters after that injury happened, he was fine. You know, he wasn't terrible. I think really all of his worst plays came in the fourth quarter. Even the very first drive he had after that finger injury, I think he completed every pass he attempted on that drive, and Saints scored a touchdown. He threw a touchdown pass. I don't really fault Sean for leaving Taysom in there. I think those first three quarters are probably about as good as we've seen the Saints offense look in the last 5 weeks, which is not really saying much, but I think he did add a little bit of juice that they haven't had with Trevor Siemian in the lineup. I can't really fault him for that. Although the fourth quarter was just an abject disaster.
Yes, it was. What was the explanation from Hill and Sean Payton?
I mean, there wasn't really much to explain.
<That's>
it's bad. You know, I think. Those turnovers. The Demarcus Lawrence one. I don't even think he even saw him. You know, he was kind of screened behind the line of scrimmage, and Lawrence made a really good play. But the other ones, were just bad plays by Taysom, and that's kind of what we've seen out of him in his five starts now. Is he'll have these moments where he's excellent, and he adds an element to the offense with his mobility. He was great as a runner last night, even though he's dealing with a pretty painful foot injury. But he leaves a lot to be desired as a passer. It's just kind of what the facts are now. If it wasn't overwhelmingly clear before last night, even with the finger injury that you could use as an excuse for last night, it was bad. It was not good enough. I don't really think there's even an explanation there. It's just it just was not up to par, and the Saints just kind of wilted in that fourth quarter.
And yet, as I was watching the game, the defense kept on forcing the Cowboys three and out, including getting an interception. That if they put in the end zone or, through the uprights, it's a one-score game. Dallas does not get a first down in the fourth quarter until after, their pick six. And then the Saints touchdown. The Saints defense continues to play really well.
Yeah, I think the Buffalo game was really bad for them, but I think they kind of turned it around a little bit. I thought they played a great game last night. The only exception is the explosive plays. They gave up six plays of 20 or more yards last night, and those plays accounted for 50% of Dallas' total offense. I think that's kind of been the issue at times with the Saints this year is the explosive plays. They've had some poor tackling in some instances. The 33-yard CeeDee Lamb play, Malcolm Jenkins had a chance to bring him down for like a 8 or 9 yard gain, and CeeDee made him just kind of look foolish on the play, and it ended up putting the ball down to the 1 yard line. Marcus Williams having just an extremely odd angle on Tony Pollard's touchdown run. It was like he was playing the cutback run for 50 yards and not chasing him down. It was just
nice.
I think they played a really good game defensively last night. That's a very explosive offense. They haven't been playing up to their standards for the last couple of weeks, that offense, but they had the guys back last night. They had CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper in the lineup. You had Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott are really good. Their offensive line was healthy. So it was a really good job by that Saints defense last night. They kept them in the game. But the fact of the matter is that the offense has been playing so poorly lately. It's really hard to expect those guys to just keep that up on a drive-by-drive, play-by-play basis.
Yeah, it did look like Marcus Williams was escorting him into the end zone last night.
Yeah, I still have no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
I watched that play like 3 or 4 times. It looked like the controller got stuck on Madden.
Yes, it looked like he was following him or protecting him from getting tackled until right at the last second he tried to push him out of bounds. Even if you fall behind him, right, at least try and make a play, and he didn't do that until it was way too late. We're talking to Luke Johnson, Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. Where do you think the Saints go from here? Because as crazy as it sounds, they are not out of the playoff race in the NFC.
Yeah, I think going into this, I was like, okay, the chances of them winning this game, especially once they ruled Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, and Teron Armstead out, they would have had to pull off something pretty big last night. But even going into that game, you're like, okay, they could lose this game and they could still have a chance. Because at 5-7 right now, I mean, there's a bunch of teams just like all bunched up in that 5-6, 5-7, like range, right? And all those teams are kind of within that battle for that number 7 playoff spot. But I mean, you can't really slip up anymore. Like, you can't just keep kind of banking on those teams you're all fighting with to continue losing games, right? I mean, the Saints, even if you look at the NFC South standings right now before this week's game, I think Carolina's idle this week, but there's 3 teams who are 5-7, so there's just so many teams there that there's potential for them to make a run, but they have to do it now. Like, it has to start now. They cannot lose a game to the Jets next week. At very worst, they can do like no worse than 4-1 probably down the stretch, and really have a realistic chance of getting that last playoff spot.
But the flip side
of that though is like if they do go 4-1, if they start getting these guys back healthy and they start getting a little bit of mojo, I mean you could see them being a problem for somebody in the playoffs. If they get just something going offensively, because I think their defense is good enough to hang with just about anybody, and we've seen it this year multiple times. They've beaten a couple of really good teams, and I think their wins against the Bucks, the Patriots, and the Packers are all by double digits. Like they can hang with those guys, but they have to get something going offensively.
Talking to Luke Johnson, Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, someone who actually has the under for 9.5 wins is paying attention to this. But obviously the game at Tampa Bay is going to be the toughest one, but they've already beaten Tampa Bay, although I would say that was like 3 bad plays by Tom Brady. That was the difference in that game. But they get the Dolphins at home, and all of a sudden the Dolphins will be fighting for a playoff spot. It looks like. I'm with you. This team, they could win every single one of these games. Jets, Buccaneers, Dolphins, Panthers, Falcons. Right? They're not playing any. Well, I mean, I guess the Buccaneers are. But that's it. Top teams, and they're familiar with the Buccaneers. There's no Packers on there. There's no Cardinals on there. There is, in this case, a better version of the Patriots. There's no Ravens on there. They could reel off 5 wins in a row. Whether they do or not is going to determine if, those guys, like you mentioned, Kamara and the tackles get healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the big thing, right? It is possible. Like, there's no sense in giving up. Like, I keep seeing people go, like, all right, it's time to tank and get a top 10 draft pick. It's like, no. Like first of all, I don't think that team is wired. This team is wired like that, right? They've got a lot of really proud veteran players. I could not possibly see them just sitting guys and playing out the string and losing as many games as possible. So if you get some of those guys back, like, it is absolutely possible that they can figure something out offensively and make a little bit of a run at this. But, you know, again, like, the clock is absolutely ticking on that. Like, they just got through this very difficult stretch of their schedule. Yeah, I don't think they anticipated losing five games in a row at this point, but there is some light at the end of the tunnel. We keep talking throughout this year about margin for error for the Saints team, and right now you're talking about like the whole season, right? There is the postseason is on the line. Everything for this team is on the line, and they have to get it going now, because if they don't, their chances are, you know, they get worse and worse and worse as the weeks progress.
All right, they've played a couple of back-to-back Thursday games. They get finally get their 10 days off. How is Sean Payton going to handle this with the urgency to win, but also the urgency to, you know, get healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of asking a couple guys about this after the game. I think it's not just getting physically healthy. I think there's really some real benefits to, okay, your team's lost five straight. It's just been banging its head against the wall. They've played three games in 12 days. It's like, okay, take a weekend and just get away from the game for a second, right? And just mentally recharge and refocus for what's a very important stretch to close the season off. They're going to give some time, the guys some time off. They're going to let them recover their bodies. But I think just as important is just taking a mental break, right? And just getting your brain off of football for just a second and kind of recentering things.
So basically the guys who need treatment will be in, but other than that, everyone's going to be able to get away from it until Monday, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like right now.
All right. What are you working on there as you get to have a nice weekend off as well, right? Is that the point?
Yeah, we're doing like I filed a story today about the latest with Taysom's finger. The last thing we heard was that he's not going to need surgery and he's going to be able he's going to try to give it a go. That's something that we're going to be monitoring over the next couple of days. And then, you know, our staff, we're doing a staff roundtable discussion and kind of taking a big picture look at what's left to go in these last five games and maybe a little bit looking toward 2022. We're gonna get away and I'll watch some college football on Saturday and maybe some NFL football on Sunday and give myself a brain break.
Now, was Amy just your colleague? Was she in between you and Cowboys reporter, Cowboys.com reporter David Hellman? Because that's a very dangerous place, I would presume.
No, thankfully, I've the end seat on on my row in the press box, and Hellman was like all the way across the press box, so we didn't even interact much during the game. That's probably better for everybody's sake.
Yes, very much so. All right, obviously, you guys don't know. Luke and David are very close friends. Probably a good thing to keep you separated. Did we have any issues like the night before or anything?
No comment.
Well done. As I heard a coach say today, not for public consumption. Luke Johnson, enjoy the weekend off, my friend.
Thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right. Luke Johnson, NOLA.com, and Times Picayune. I see those games, and again, the Buccaneers should beat them, okay? And yes, they got, you know, they beat the Buccaneers. I thought that was more Buccaneers than it was Saints, but, you know, it's not the Saints' fault that Tom Brady threw bad passes, right? You know, not the way that works. And that was the game, like Boy Perry said, that Devin White, you know, horse collar James Winston, who was out for the rest of the season. All right, let's take a timeout. I haven't even looked at the comments in the app yet.
Uh-oh.
Are those looking good?
Yeah.
All right. Perry does me such a favor when he comes on here. Back after this. Bottom of the hour, by the way. Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. Then we got Mick Gillespie from Bama Insider at 5 and Connor O'Gara 5:30 from Saturday Down South. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
All right. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root. Perry says we should pay him. The World Series t-shirt's on the way. The World Series t-shirt and the hat were ordered at the same time.
Yeah,
cap came like a week later.
What a nice gesture.
Still waiting on the World Series t-shirt. Do we want to see the comments in the app?
Goodness yeah.
Gracious, haven't, all been good. In there. Haven't been in there to begin the show. Let's see if we back it up here. Some people did not like it. All right, so David Preston, I think that's where we started, right?
Yep.
Something like that? All right. So we want to know how Alabama can win the SEC championship game. Well, first of all, to check the officials has to clear. Secondly, all right. The check to the officials has to clear. Secondly, Georgia has to shoot themselves in the foot by making stupid penalties and stupid turnovers and a ridiculous fake punt. Oh, that's not in there. I added that part. Sorry, Rube. And thirdly, Alabama has to take advantage of those penalties and turnovers, which I don't think all three will happen. All right. Hey, Root, are you already trying to convince yourself not to walk out the plane? I really need to see you come back to work on Monday.
Yeah, if you never hear from me again after this weekend, you'll know why.
Did the coaches shake hands after the Viger game? Has the coach made any comment on that last touchdown? I don't believe he has. It was already soul-crushing for those kids. Why kick him in the teeth? I believe the starters were still in. Yeah, I'm with you. Kennedy has already had rushing attempts this year. Is that true?
7 of them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
7 of them for 16 yards.
No kidding.
An average of 2.3 yards a carry.
Against a Power 5 team?
I tried to go back and see. I haven't seen who those attempts came against, but yeah, he's had a few.
All right. Sounds like Perry is not paying any rent to live inside your head, Dave. We like to have fun with Perry. He's a good topic of conversation. Let's face it, I think Perry's middle name is Rant. All right. I am a Viger alum, bleed green and white, but I've never been more embarrassed of the classlessness of this coaching staff. Those kids from Aniata, like they did a trick play with 30 seconds left, up 48-14. All right. You're right. A lot of things roll off Dave like water on a duck, but not Perry. let's see here. Someone should say, is it Coke or soda? Is it tennis shoes or sneakers? And lastly, define y'all.
Tennis shoe.
Tennis shoe?
Tennis
right.
shoe.
Tennis shoes. All right. So that's a thing up north. So I'm from Syracuse. That's in the middle of the state. Rochester is in between Buffalo and Syracuse. In Syracuse, it's soda.
Yeah, you call anything down here a Coke.
Past Rochester, or Rochester and west of the United States, by the way. The rest of the United States is pop. Except Atlanta, it's company specific. I had a Coke Zero earlier today. All right.
Be like, what kind of Coke you want, Dr. Pepper?
Right, that's right. Do you go to Atlanta and order a Pepsi?
Better not.
Is that when they screw with your food?
I've been to the Coke, family friend that worked for a long, long time at the Coke in Atlanta. Was kind of high up with the company and got to go to a meet and greet and met Denny Hamlin and Dale Jarrett when
racing.
They were doing an event with Coke. They were two Coke sponsored drivers and got to go meet them at the Coke distribution or whatever it is, headquarters there in Atlanta. So yeah, been there.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Perry shouldn't be able to call back until there is a more ignorant caller that calls in. Saints missing QB1, RB1, wide receiver 1, left tackle 1, right tackle 1, left guard 1, and tight end 1.
Would help to have those guys.
Yeah. Yes. So if you just added QB1 to that mix.
Yeah, so that game, you're right. What you've said is absolutely right. What you can take away from that game is all about the Cowboys.
It's about the Cowboys. Exactly. That's what I was going to get to, but these comments are more fun. It is about the Cowboys, because I am all, and when I say win and move on, especially in the NFL, it's more tongue-in-cheek in college, but when I say win and move on, usually you didn't play well, but it doesn't matter, and you know, it's more of a reference to the NCAA tournament. Doesn't matter if your point differential is 6, you are the NCAA champion, unless you got to play the play-in game, then it has to be 7. So win and move on just refers to that. That's what Dallas had last night. And certainly in the pros, like in this case, what Perry says, it goes in the win column. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, and you'd love to take away a lot on the defense, and you can for Dallas, especially with the interceptions. But when they're thrown right to you.
Right.
I mean, those were not difficult interceptions.
No, and he missed Tre'Quan Smith a couple of times.
Big time, yeah.
Troy Aikman was saying, well, I don't know why Tre'Quan stopped that one time. I'll tell you why Tre'Quan Smith slowed down or wasn't running. Because every time he was running away from, was it Anthony Brown? Every time he's running away from Anthony Brown, Taysom Hill makes him stop and try and catch the pass.
Right.
That's why he was not, Taysom Hill should have been benched last night because of his injury. Not benched because he was not playing well, but he was missing wide open wide receivers. They could have won that football game last night.
You know, if they came out and said that Simeon was dealing with something, all right, sure, fine. You know, that will help us understand. If you came out.
Well, he was the backup. He couldn't have been dealing with too much.
Well, right, I understand, but, you know, if he was nursing something or we knew that, it would be easier for us to understand why he didn't come in the game.
Ian Book was in a mock turtleneck last night inside the dome, by the way. Let's see here. Thank you for the shout out. Steve. Let's see what this is. The Steve Hicks Memorial Cruise in tomorrow down in Theodore, American Legion Post 250 for the
Canes Warrior Kids.
Canes Warriors
that's
Kids.
Kane. We get our traffic updates from Kane.
Okay.
And the Canes Warrior Kids. I know that's a really, really cool thing that Kane does. So it's a good organization to try to help out. I know Kane's really involved with local racing down here on the Gulf Coast. So I'm all down for that.
I'm so big, I got denied credentials to the SEC championship game. So I did not get denied, because I'm so big time, of credentials to the Sun Belt championship game.
Go.
And I will tailgate anyways at the Sun Belt game. So we're headed to Lafayette tomorrow for the night. All right, so we'll do it there. All right. All fired up. Love it, Dave. Good show. That doesn't happen very much. Sounds like Viger QB Mix stayed in there the whole game.
He did.
It's going to be very interesting to see if he gets any more offers after a big ball game like that, right? A couple of weeks. Got Kentucky and Nebraska are the two biggest ones so far.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. All right. All right, let's take a timeout. No, Coke Soda was a question for Brian Kelly. I bet you calls it pop.
Probably does.
Well, he's from Massachusetts, so that's east of Rochester, but he's been in, you know, the Midwest for so long, he could call a pop. All right, Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com, coming up, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
All right, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root. Fired up Friday afternoon game plan, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP. We got the, quickly before we get to Anthony Dasher, we got the 4A box score here. Ja'Cory Barnes, 19 carries, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jermaine Coleman, 11 carries, 52 yards, 2 touchdowns. Anthony Mix, 6 carries, 30 yards, did not score on the ground. 14 of 21, 279 yards. For Mr. Mix in the air, 3 touchdowns. Abraham Daniels, 3 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Caleb Coleman, 3 catches, 59 yards for a touchdown. Jordan May, 3 catches, 24 yards. And Coleman, 2 catches for 46 yards out of the backfield. All right, let's talk a little SEC championship from UGASports.com. He's Anthony Dasher. How pumped up are you for this game there, Anthony?
Tell you what, it's going to be a big one.
So are you, you know, covering Georgia, are you one of those guys that's saying, you know, until Alabama does it, I'm not buying that Georgia can do this? Or are you believing it just right now, Georgia would appear to be the better team this year?
Well, yeah. Well, right now Georgia appears to be the better team, and I've had this vibe, you know, all season long. I've covered this team a long time. This is the only time in all those years that I've ever felt that, you know, Georgia's team, at least on paper, is better than what Alabama is going to, you know, put on the field. But you're right, though. I mean, that's something that until, you know, the Bulldogs can beat the gorilla in the room that is Alabama, I mean, right, it's always going to be a question, I think, mostly in fans' minds, not so much in the players' and coaches' minds, but I think the Georgia fan base, until Georgia actually gets it done, there's always going to be a little bit of apprehension.
All right, so I don't know what your reaction is going to be to this, but I watched that Georgia Tech game last week, and I know the score was 45-0, and as I mentioned a few times this week, for those of us who had 34.5, we enjoyed that. It wasn't quite as dominant as I thought it was going to be. I really thought, and maybe I'm underestimating Georgia Tech, that Georgia would run the football, you know, 8-9 yards a clip, and it was more along the lines of 5 or 6 yards a clip. They did have two big plays. Brock Bowers is just unreal. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit disappointed how explosive they were against Georgia Tech. Is there anything to take away from that? Because obviously Alabama's run defense is much better than that what they were facing against Tech.
Not really. I mean, you look at the whole season in Georgia, as far as the yard per carry, you know, aspect, has been a little behind what they've actually had in recent years. But, you know, on the flip side, Georgia's also been, you know, pretty balanced just ever Stetson Bennett. They've been taking exactly what opposing defenses have been, you know, throwing out there for them to get. So, I don't think so. I mean, Georgia did exactly what it wanted to do in that game. They wanted to go out and be methodical, just get the lead, and just let that defense lean on Georgia Tech, which has pretty much been the formula for every game they played this year. Obviously, it won't be that easy, you know, on Saturday, but that's what they've always been trying to do.
How do they slow down Will Anderson?
Well, you've got to probably got to get some help. I mean, I think Georgia's in a position with a guy like Darnell Washington, the tight end, 6'7", 270, he can help out the one of the tackles, whether, you know, depending on what side that he lines up at. But I think you also see the running back do some chipping, that kind of thing. But they'll have a game plan for Will. I mean, Will is arguably the best defensive player in the country. I think he deserves, definitely deserves some attention for the Heisman Trophy this year. But Georgia will have a plan.
Talking to Anthony Dasher, UGA.com. All right, so what do you think the plan is for Georgia to win this football game?
Well, offensively, this is going to be a lot of what you've seen. I do think they want to run the ball, but I do also think you're going to see Georgia come out and try to be pretty aggressive in this one. I mean, I know a lot of people think that Stetson Bennett, is maybe a liability in some respects throwing the football, but he's proven that he's a guy who can get it done. You know, last week against Tech, he had completions of 10 different receivers in the first half, so they've got weapons. And I expect they'll try to use them all. I think you'll see Georgia throw them first down. I think they'll want to get Alabama's defense kind of probably the same thing that Alabama wants to do to Georgia, kind of try to spread them out a little bit, get guys in space. But Georgia, I don't think, is going to go into this game shy about trying to attack the field.
Let's do it the other way. What concerns you about Alabama other than their Alabama?
Well, obviously Bryce Young. I mean, Bryce is a guy who, if I had a Heisman vote, I'd probably give it to him, you know, right now. His ability to get the ball out quickly. I mean, Kirby Smart, I think, rightfully described him as like a point guard in basketball. I mean, he can the way he moves around, scrambles, and can, you know, throw the ball within just a millisecond almost, it seems. And all the weapons that he had, he's able to spread it around, obviously very well. That's going to be the key. And, you know, and how much pressure George can get on him is going to be a big deal as well. I know Alabama's offensive line had his issues when Auburn had 7 sacks last year, and I know Georgia will be trying to duplicate that. And, you know, the key for Alabama, too, I think they've got to have some semblance of a running game. If not, that's going to make the defense's, situation, I won't say easy, but it will help things out for sure if they can't run the ball.
Whose responsibility is it to cover Jameson Williams?
That would be either, not sure which guy, but probably Darian Kendrick, grad transfer from Clemson. He's actually played against Alabama before. Of course, you know, Jameson wasn't on the team, you know, last season. But he's a guy who always gets the other team's best receiver. And I'm pretty sure he'll get Jameson's get his number on tomorrow afternoon.
Let's look at the offensive side of the ball. We've talked a lot about the health of Alabama. Let's go to Georgia. Start with the guys on offense, Jamari Salyer, Kendall Milton, George Pickens. Yep. What do you think about those guys?
Well, Jabari has practiced this week. We'll see if he plays. He has not played in for the most part in four straight games now. He'll probably be a game time decision. But from what I understand, he looked pretty good in practice. So we'll see if he's 100%. He'll be out there. But they're also very pleased with what Broderick Jones has done at left tackle since taking over for him. So that will we'll again just have to wait and see how that goes. As far as Kendall Milton goes, I expect he will play. He's missed the last six games with MCL injury, but he's looking pretty good. But if he does, though, I think Georgia's top running backs are still going to be Zamir White and James Cook. And as far as George Pickens goes, he did return to action last week, got his seventh rep, had a 5-yard catch. I do see him expect him to play a lot more this week.
Move to the defensive side of the ball. Nolan Smith, Chris Smith.
Yeah.
Who else on defense? Go to that side of the ball.
Yeah, Christopher Smith is really the only guy on defense that's, of course, they don't have Adam Anderson on the team anymore, but Christopher Smith is the real key one, I think. He has missed the last two games of a knee injury, kind of buckled in practice a couple of weeks ago, but he is a guy who would play star. He's took over for Latavius Barini at that position about a month ago, I guess it was. And he's a senior, got a lot of experience, and definitely somebody Georgia would need, because if not, and that could potentially be an area where Alabama really tries to attack that particular position.
And one more spot, it's incredible to see Stetson Bennett, obviously. That's all people can talk about. The walk-on, the storyline with Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
But Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, especially Ladd McConkey, at wide receiver, just tell people a little bit about him. He is not a walk-on. People might make that mistake and think that he is. But no, just kind of a lesser rated recruit. But Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers, incredible what they're doing as freshmen.
Yeah, Ladd, only had one FBS offer. That was from Georgia. And grew up a big Tennessee fan up in North Georgia. I think his parents actually had season tickets for the Vols. But Georgia, kind of came in late during a couple years ago, right before signing date, offered him a scholarship. And he's been a guy who really stepped in and give Georgia, I think, a big boost at wide receiver. He's a guy who can get deep, can run, catches the ball. He doesn't drop many passes, if any. But Brock Bowers is the guy, though, has really just been pretty amazing. Look at what he's done this year. I mean, he's lead the entire, team in receptions and yardage. Has scored 10 touchdowns receiving, has one rushing this year. 6'4", 230. And if you watched that Georgia Tech game last week, he took a pass over the middle for 20 yards, just outran both cornerbacks and both safeties for like a 70-something yard, touchdown play. So he's really been a dynamic player. I know Coach Saban has spoken to him several times during his press conference this week. Somebody from Alabama really has to keep their eye on.
And is there any talk about JT Daniels? I know everyone's focused on this game and this game alone this week, but JT Daniels, maybe another year in college, and what college that might be?
Yeah, it's not going to surprise me at all to see him transfer, to be quite honest with you. He came to Georgia, thought he was going to be the guy. Then he had the injuries at the quad and then the lat. Just wasn't able to get 100%, really get, to be 100% to about, a month and a half ago. And Stetson Bennett just took the ball and kind of ran with it. So it's been almost impossible for him to get get back into the position. I know a lot of Georgia fans probably would still like to see him as a quarterback, but Stetson has played so well. And Kirby hasn't wanted to mess up a good thing, so Stetson has been that guy at quarterback ever since.
Talking to Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. All right, I'm of the belief that obviously Bryce Young is a better quarterback than Stetson Bennett, the fourth. But I believe Stetson Bennett, the fourth, is a better athlete than Bryce Young. He is faster than Bryce Young. How does Georgia use Stetson Bennett in the running game? Because Alabama does not at all want Bryce Young to run.
Right.
They don't run any set plays for him. He may scamper, but that's only when he's under pressure.
Yeah, well, you'll see Stetson probably have four or five design runs. That's something that actually started doing a little bit more of this year. He's rushed from about, 270 yards just off the top of my head. And he's done a great job of escaping pressure. Talk about Will Anderson a while ago. Stetson's going to have to really take it upon himself to use those legs to kind of escape. Will, I think, tomorrow afternoon. But, yeah, his ability to run, that's another reason why he is the quarterback right now, because J.T. Daniels, as strong as his arm is, doesn't move a whole lot in the pocket. That's something that in Todd Munkin's offense, he wants a quarterback who can move and run and do different things. So that's why Stetson is there, and that's why he's been effective.
All right, what have you been working on this week getting ready for this ball game?
Oh, gosh, it's all kind of different, you know, previews, analysis. I've written, I think, so I finally got caught up, man. Just a matter of waiting for kickoff tomorrow.
All right, before we wrap up, how about Georgia's win basketball-wise over Memphis?
That was a huge and an unexpected win, I will say that. I mentioned to several people, I didn't, you know, going into that game, I didn't see how Georgia had a chance, you know what, to pull that one out. But, hey, give them credit. I mean, they played hard, they hustled, they dove for loose balls, everything you're supposed to do to try and win the game. And lo and behold, that's what they did. Shocker.
How firm is the ground that Tom Crean's job stands upon?
Well, it's a little bit firmer after that win, but you know, they still got some work to do, I think, this season for him to, I think, feel completely safe. There's no doubt it's a big deal for Coach Crean if he wants to keep his job.
Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy the football.
Anytime, guys.
All right. He said they were relatively healthy, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, one team's going in the wrong direction health-wise. Yeah. Georgia has kind of had their issues even going into the year and at the beginning of the year, and they're kind of getting healthy, completely healthy at the right time.
I mean, I fully believe if Brian Robinson can play, he's going to play. He's been waiting his whole career for this game. His whole career is this game. If he's got a bad ankle, he's going to do what he can.
Yeah.
If you got a bad hamstring.
That's tough. That's
I mean,
tough.
You can wrap it, but. That's going to be a problem, I think. All right. I mean, obviously, you know, ankles are tough too, but that's one of those injuries that is more pain tolerance. Hamstring, all of a sudden, you're galloping. You're not running, you're galloping.
Right. Right?
All right, let's take a timeout. So looking forward to Monday, Root. We will totally break down Monday night's football game, Bills Patriots. We get to talk Mac Jones. There could be a little bit of weather in that ballgame.
Yeah, we'll recap SEC championship game on Tuesday.
That Mac. No, right, well, all right. We may have a new Troy football coach next week, by the way, on the show. Back after this, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
Hi, I'm Vern Lundquist from CBS Sports. You're listening to WNST Mobile, Alabama.
Schultz, Stephen Root, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Really didn't mention that yet, that Troy did find them a coach, John Summerall, coming over from Kentucky.
Yep.
I like that hire.
Yeah, I would bet Dave a paycheck that Bryce Young is faster than Stetson Bennett.
We'll try to arrange that race to sort that out.
Well, it depends on what your paycheck is, because there's a good chance your paycheck is bigger than my paycheck.
I mean, I'm
not
with
you.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Right. I think that
I'm not saying that, you know, Bryce Young's running a 5.5 and Stetson Bennett's running a 4.3. I think one runs probably a 4.5 and the other one runs a 4.5 or 4.6.
Yeah, find me a time where Bryce turned on the burners to outrun, you know, really anybody. You know, he's a very efficient runner.
Yes.
When he does decide to take off, he doesn't get hit. He finds the boundary,
right,
and he's very efficient. You know, Stetson Bennett, kind of, they do design runs for him because he's a very good athlete.
Yeah, yeah. So I would bet Dave a paycheck. Wow, all right. I don't really have that kind of cash to throw around, but.
Well, where do you
depending
work?
On what your
I wonder where they work,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what their paycheck is, right? I mean, we do have the bourbon raffle coming up tomorrow next week. And a big pay-per-view UFC fight.